This month's Mortgage Monthly brought to you by the fine folks at CU Members Mortgage. We have CU Member Mortgage's very own Desiree Hessel talking about disruptions affecting credit union mortgage lending. Wow, a very timely topic indeed here. So check it out. We're going to stop the music and start having fun. How about that, Desiree?
Yes, I love that idea.
All right. Hey, everybody. Hey, welcome to this month's Mortgage Monthly brought to you by the fine folks at CU Members Mortgage. I'm Mike Lawson from CU Broadcast, and our expert guest today is Desiree Hessel from CU Members Mortgage. Desiree, how are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Oh, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to chat with us today. We are talking about disruptions affecting credit union mortgage lending, and there's a lot of them out there. There's so many disruptions out there right now, and you're going to talk to us all about that today. So shall we dive in, Desiree, with the first question? Should we go
in? Let's do it. I'm excited.
All right, let's go head first. Here we go. Hey, previous Mortgage Monthly segments have focused on changes, but the pace of change doesn't seem to be slowing down. It seems to be getting faster and faster each year. So is this what we can expect for the future here, Desiree? What's going on?
Yes, good question. First, I just want to thank you so much for having me, inviting me on another Mortgage Monthly episode. One of the things I love, we all love about credit unions is the collaborative nature, and you having us here for this dialogue is awesome. So thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. Happy to have you here.
Of course. So you asked about the future.
Yes.
What I think we can all agree is the pitfalls of sort of predicting the future, right?
Everyone has a crystal ball that's very murky right now.
I'm going to use my crystal ball. It's more like a magic eight ball.
I like those better.
Yeah. It's like 50-50, but I thought we could chat about at least some of my thoughts on the subject.
Okay.
So many of the predictions that have been made about the market are now playing out in real time, right? So we're experiencing the consequences of that. And sometimes I literally just feel like we have more questions than answers.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree. So I get that we have more questions than answers these days. I think everybody does, especially when things are going so, so fast. So what you're saying is that change in one aspect has a cause and effect relationship with the other, which sounds almost like, dare I say, science class. We're not in science class. We're in mortgage lending class today. So scientifically speaking, Desiree, what the heck is going on here?
Well, you know, I'm no pro, but let's talk about our favorite topic, everyone's favorite topic. We'll start with rates.
Yes.
We've been hearing from us, everybody's been hearing from us, from others for a long, long time that we're in historic lows. And there's nowhere to go but up, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all true. That's of course, I get that. We were at the bottom. Look at, we're watching it real time play out and move up. Rates have been incredibly low for an incredibly long period of time. So long that people don't know any other way, I think. So here we are, the start of the traditional home buying season, right? And we're what, 5% is the new 3.5?
Yeah, exactly. Got that right.
Yeah. So for those of us in mortgage, we've been in mortgage a long time, we laugh a little bit about the perception that 5% or 4.5 is too high. But let's face it, higher rates impact affordability. So after several years, almost many of this new normal,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to even remember the days of an 18% mortgage, but they existed. Yeah. They existed in our lifetime, our parents, our grandparents, whatever. Mm-hmm. And when they bought a home at 18%, nobody flinched. That was the way it was. It wasn't insane, right?
Mm-hmm.
But home prices weren't what they are now. So facts are facts. You can't afford the same home at 18% that you can at 5%.
That's true. And I'm thinking about, as you're talking about that, like millennials who are now kind of in their prime earning years, they've never seen interest rates like that before. They've always seen these rock bottom low interest rates. That's all they've ever seen. So they think, or that generation thinks, that's the norm. So great points for sure. And I totally understand that a 4.5% fixed rate mortgage is still pretty darn good. I think it's still pretty darn good based on my history. So I'm still excited about that rate. But when you look at the market in context of what our parents and grandparents paid, it's really, really good. So why all the money moaning and groaning today? What's going on?
Well, I mean, some of us look at it like it's a bragging right at the neighborhood barbecue, you know, that's true. And it's something that we kind of absorb in our heads, like, oh, my last mortgage was at 3. So it's a little bit of that, I think, just mentally. But all of us in the industry and the people purchasing, it affects affordability. So if you're a homeowner of modest means, right? In most cases, in a lot of cases, you're bumping up against a maximum DTI. So that translates to what the cap on your proposed housing budget. And any of us that's been an LO, any of us that's been on that side of it purchasing and you're pre-approved and you have this house in sight or this purchase price in sight, all of a sudden you're watching the rates daily because if they change, your max purchase price changes, right? That's a literal thing. So any increase in rates translates into a reduction in home buying power. That's just a fact. Mm-hmm. The reduction comes at a bad time when we consider supply and demand for housing. It's also a time of potentially needing more space for home office, home gyms, older children living at home longer, maybe because of the situation, multifamily homes gaining in popularity, and something that's sort of unprecedented. People are maybe even living in more expensive coveted areas because of the decrease in the brick and mortar needs from COVID. All have very different, sometimes in a lot of cases, larger needs than we did before too.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And so by that, I'm assuming you're referring to the skyrocketing home values and the lack of inventory that's going on right now as we're talking. So and I think everyone agreed that the higher rates would dry up the high volume or the refinance business, that is, but I don't remember anybody predicting higher rates would cause higher home prices. I never heard that at all. So what's your take on that?
Oh, it's so true. We may not be able to draw a straight line from the two, but look, if we've been paying attention since 2008, we've seen that there can't be any surprise there. We haven't been building enough housing going back to the 2008 meltdown. And there are literally still, you can see them driving around in all of our neighborhoods, I think, of just stagnant developments that stopped in 2008 and they sit idle waiting to be restarted. And then COVID was another accelerant that escalated that into a 3-alarm fire, even down to building costs. We talk about that all the time, supply costs. So at that point, you look at it, is it even worth it to build versus buy already built? There's so many questions. And again, not a lot of answers, just a question. But the work from home phenomenon definitely changed the game too in many markets because literally, I mean, millions of people said, hey, I can move to a nicer place, a bigger place, whatever, and keep my current job. I mean, you're going to want to go live in Tahoe? Feel free. You know, there's a lot of that going on too.
Yep.
So in any case, there's a little argument about the fact that home prices shot up last year and shows no signs of coming down, really. Mm-hmm. This comes at a time when families are paying more food for food and gas, our other favorite topic.
Yeah.
And just about everything else. All of that impacts affordability for the segment of the market that's just more vulnerable.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think the price of a gallon of gas is almost the price of a house these days. It's just nuts what's going on there right now. But won't higher rates, that is, cool down the market, do you think?
Of course, absolutely it will. But by cool, we just mean slow the increase. Nobody's really talking this time about as much of a housing bubble. It's just a different circumstance than it was in 2008. And while prices have come off their peak, the damage has been done. They're just more expensive.
Yeah. So connecting the dots here. So higher rates means less buying power for credit union members in a seller's market where they're frequently outgunned by competing buyers with more resources. And we've seen a lot of that out here, especially out here in my neck of the woods in Southern California. So many people are getting beaten out by these just massive cash offers. And it's almost sad because there's hardworking people out there that want a home, but then some other person comes in with this big pile of cash. All right, we'll take that. Boom, done. So it's like, so what can a credit union do to help their members in these circumstances? Because it's challenging in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. What credit unions have done best, the reason I came to credit unions, the reason all of us are with credit unions is to serve our members. And in the short term, that probably is the best advice is to shore up your financial literacy outreach in the effort to get members earlier in the home ownership journey. So the more we can prepare them for the realities of the market, the better equipped they're going to be to take on these challenges.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's going to solve the, I came in with cash and outbid you. I have that in my neck of the woods, 100% have that. Some of my realtor friends are saying that's happening half the time. And that's,
yeah, you're right.
You know, a little bit crazy, but sometimes preparing our members just looks like credit cleanup, you know, maybe 2 years down the road before they're ready. Sometimes it looks like a savings plan because they just don't have the down. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's literally just as easy as the education needed to know when they're ready to buy. I think as loan officers or in the mortgage industry at all, we've all had those members that come to us and say, you know, I'm not ready now, but I just want to know the step-by-step, how do we get there? And once you dive in on their credit report and their income and their job history and all that stuff, you're like, you are ready. Or I can pre-approve you right now. You are ready.
Wow.
They just didn't know that. So that's a big part of our job, I think, is to ask those questions. In the longer term, this certainly appears to be a target for disruption. You know, a lot of people blame like their lack of down payment savings, like I was saying, as the primary obstacle for new homeowners. Mm-hmm. But the real enemy is the monthly household budgets and a solution that would allow for benefits of home ownership with a lower sort of monthly housing cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those other exterior bills that really kind of bring that down for sure. So how's that going to work, Desiree? I mean, how do you make higher home costs equal lower monthly housing expense? So let me ask that one more time, just to be clear here. How do you make higher home costs equal lower monthly housing expense?
My brain is twisted.
I think my head just went all the way around on that one.
There's a reason that's a tongue twister, because I mean, we don't know. It's a little bit of a guessing game. We all remember the 40-year mortgage.
Yeah.
That didn't work, but in theory, that's what we're looking for, is how do you lower that cost? So there's plenty of initiatives out there. Some of them are realistic, some maybe not so much. But one way to make homes a lot less expensive is to make them a lot smaller. So we've seen that trend, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So what else? There's silent seconds, border income, shared equity, investors, ADUs. We can also call them granny units. and a lot of our, I know in your neck of the woods and mine, that just passed where we can have those and have that income, right? So all of these have proponents and any of them could catch on. Some already have a little bit. How many of us have stayed in an Airbnb?
Me. Right? Yeah. Probably so almost all of us.
I know. And it's so handy and awesome. Yep. Just a few years ago, I literally was the LO on the side of the table when my member said, I have Airbnb income. And I was like, oh, really? And my underwriter also sighed. It was just not prevalent enough. And there's too much gray area to make something like that really easy. And in some cases, you couldn't use it at all. And
oh, now really?
I think we all know someone renting out a room or home.
Right,
it's pretty normal.
Got it. So now I'm intrigued by shared equity. What does that mean? Can you explain, Desiree?
Oh, yes, of course. So in the simplest of terms, suppose an entity, maybe in the future, a credit union, you never know, were to contribute, say, like $50,000 towards the purchase of the home. With the understanding that in the future, when you sell or refi out of that loan, you pay back that money plus a proportional share of the appreciated value of the home, that kind of acts like the interest rate on the loan. So instead of paying, you know, monthly on it like a second, you're paying it in the, you know, after you sell or refi.
Right.
These types of arrangements already exist, albeit primarily in the equity cash out realm, not so much in the purchase. I literally have a family member doing this as we speak, and as the token lender of the family.
Oh, really? Okay.
I get to walk everyone through their lending questions in my family.
Yay.
But it's really cool because she's needing to buy out the existing co-owner, and it's a totally different animal than what we're used to currently in the mortgage area, because it's not looking at it so much at inception like DTI and income, and we have that three-legged stool we're all so comfortable with, right? But instead, it's way more focused on the loan-to-value of the property and the payment history on the existing loan. So super different animal, but really useful in certain situations like that for investing, purchasing another home, buying someone out that's on the loan, a lot of uses there.
Yeah, a lot of variables for sure now. So back to today's market and current disruptions. We noticed that home buying season coincides with the start of baseball season, and thankfully they got their act together, so they will coincide again this year. So thank you, baseball owners and players. So we got that right. So if higher rates are strike one and higher home prices are strike two, what do credit unions need to do to change the count and knock one out of the park, so to speak?
I'm glad that's your question, because I don't know a ton about the specifics of the baseball game, but I know about home runs, so I can play your game.
Okay.
So, I think it's easier, Mike, than we even realize, and I talked about it a little bit earlier, but it's the people. Credit unions have this amazing upper hand because they're so different and so member-focused than the dark side. They take their time, they're financial advisors to their members. And I honestly, looking back, that's why I was so moved by the credit union world. That's why I came over here, and that's why I stay, is just, mm-hmm. I just feel like there's just more care, more gray area, more kind of looking at your situation and finding something that's a perfect fit. So if we're all listening to our members, asking probing questions, really looking for ways to improve their financial lives, I think everyone will succeed. That'll be the home run.
Yeah.
In these times of uncertainty, even more so, there's fluctuating prices and rates, turmoil in Eastern Europe. I mean, there's a lot going on even in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what our members need from their credit unions, from all of us, is just great financial advice and amazing financial options to suit their needs. I think it's literally, that's the home run. It's as simple as that. That's where our referrals come from. And that's absolutely, I think, what our next year will look like, if my little lending crystal ball is correct. and this is controversial maybe, but in my opinion, again, I'm no pro, but I've been in the business. This is just my opinion, but something that I think will need to be adjusted after these last couple of years is guidelines maybe. And if we think back over the news the last 2 years, what, over 2 years of loss of work, closed restaurants and other businesses, loan deferrals, payment adjustments. Now go back to our history in mortgage, and we think of every red flag we've ever seen on a credit report or a work history. I just don't personally think this is just a blip of a 2 year span, but more of an opportunity to kind of adjust and reinvent the mortgage world to those gray areas that make good financial sense.
Yeah, there's going to be, I think you're spot on with that. There's going to be so many changes in the, in that whole process there, just because of what has happened in the last 18 to 24 months. There's going to be some adjustments, like you said, be well taken. So for sure. So you're saying credit unions need to just keep doing what they're doing to combat these disruptors, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what's so amazing is I think we're in a great place. Do what we do now, but just do it better. I think that's a saying, or I made it up, but I think we've had, we had a recent mortgage monthly around referrals and referral sources,
that's right. Mm-hmm.
And which was a great one, by the way, go back and watch it. And the fact that our greatest asset is word of mouth and our member referrals. So if we're indeed becoming a source of financial literacy in uncertain times, our members are going to praise that, remember that, send our family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
Credit unions historically don't advertise. I think that's pretty well known. But rising rates indicate that we'll be doing less and less refinances due to rate. So, and that's just right, a fact. But so what's left? Cash out refinances, maybe to pay down debt or, whatever. And a purchase season with, now we're looking at slightly higher rates and lower inventory. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to think outside the box. And I think that's how we're going to reach more members. Share our knowledge, stay educated ourselves on the current state of events in our markets, educate our next season buyers, right? When they're to make sure they're ready, find resources like down payment assistance, maybe if that applies in our market, and be the place to come for government lending. That's a big deal. If we don't have the loan that suits them, then what? They go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And then ask questions, uncover solutions. So maybe offering bare land and construction loans or whatever. I think there's going to be a lot of growing pains. I'm not saying there's not, but I still think it's pretty exciting. And I think if we start right there with just asking questions and wanting to care for our members, we're going to be in a good spot. And I'll tell you, I've had the same financial advisor since I was a new parent, long, like, you know, what now, 11 years. So that's a while. That's a long time for me.
Well, you said new parent and then 11 years. So there's a little bit of, a little bit of gray area there, Desiree.
I have an 11-year-old. That's perfect math. Come on.
Okay. So, never mind. I digress. I apologize.
So 11 years ago when I met him,
there you go.
My husband and I go in, we have a brand new trust and we want to put our accounts in. And keep in mind, remember, I've always been in finance, so I should know what that entails, what's going to happen today, what this meeting is going to look like. But instead, I have a fussing baby in the office. We're in the, I'm serious, you can picture
fun.
It, right?
That's fun. Right. Yes, I've never done that.
Yeah. So you're already like sweating, I want to leave. And we're in the middle of a remodel. So I remember vividly literally being covered in dust and just being in a hurry, like, please do this for us. We need to get out of here. And I want him to be, you know, in that moment, I wanted him to be an order taker and just check the box, get this done. So our advisor, awesome guy, obviously, I'm still with him. He's asking all these questions about life changes. And really actually interested in doing a great job. And so I think my husband sighs at one point. We noticeably don't want to keep answering these questions. I think we're hemming and hawing. And I'll never forget what he said. He goes, I know these questions seem silly right now. I know you want to get this done.
Right.
But I need to, you know, my job is to find out what your needs are, what changes are coming, what you're going through now. Like today, Des, we are adding a trust to your accounts, but think about it this way. Mm-hmm. Someday your son is going to be sitting here and you guys are long gone. And so, you know, bigger picture, the point is to get you set up financially correct right now with a plan to move forward. You know, it's a lot bigger than what we're doing just sitting right here. So I just remember sitting there and kind of having this aha moment of, our responsibilities in the mortgage world and just in finance in general can never be an order taker because that's a bigger deal. Putting it someone's
that right.
trust, you know, that's all these things are, you know, forever. These are big buying a home, refinancing a home. That's one of your biggest purchases you'll ever make. So I just think we need to remember that responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like right now, especially the world is moving and changing so fast. We all have different needs and fears, market fears, rate, career, health, debt, world. I mean, what don't we have going on? Retirement, buying and selling a house, whatever.
Yeah.
And everything we've talked about today. And then if you think about it this way, everything we've talked about is one person's fear, someone else's excitement, someone else's plan, and someone else's disruptor. It's just, I think we're in an interesting, unprecedented time. And I love that credit unions are in such a unique position to make a difference in so many lives, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. And the theme that I think is running through all this because of all the changes and how fast things are moving is being proactive. You kind of mentioned it, I don't want to say subtly, but that's kind of like the thread that was going through. I think the more proactive you are, especially in these crazy times that we're going through, the better off you're going to be. And for a credit union to do that with their members, especially in a mortgage lending environment, oh my gosh, the better off you're going to be. And the more value that you're going to have for that member and that trust is going to go through the roof, right?
Totally agree. And honestly, sometimes the person's going to come to you and have this big need. I had this big need. I needed a trust. But a lot of times they're coming in and they're doing a deposit, right? But if we're not asking the questions, they don't think about it. This isn't, you know, we're not selling mops. This is financial literacy and financial solutions that some people, a lot of us, you know, I didn't start out knowing this stuff. We went, you know, we started in finance and we started learning, but if we're not sharing that with our members, they may not know. So it's an important time. I think it's exciting.
Yeah, I do too. And that's why I thought this topic today was so spot on and the timing of it was perfect. So thank you, Desiree, for this fantastic information. And we had a little bit of fun too. So that's a good recipe, I think.
You are fun. You make it fun. So thank you, Mike.
Well, we try. So, hey, and also if you guys have any questions on this topic, which I think you probably do, feel free to dial up Desiree or anybody at CU Members Mortgage, and they'll be more than happy to answer your questions on any of these topics and more. And when we post the recording later today, we'll have all those links in the show notes so you guys can get right to them and check them out and say, hey, we need a little help in this area. So again, Desiree, thank you so much. This was fantastic. Oh my gosh. Yeah,
thank you. I love the music in the beginning too. I'm a big fan. Yeah.
Hey, we'll play that right now. Let's do a little music here, and as we if it's going to play, now it's not going to play.
I heard it from you.
It's there. It is. There it is. The dance pop stuff. Hey, just kind of closing out here. Hey, thank you again, everybody, for attending today live. And we'll have the recording a little bit later today as well. But hey, stay tuned for next month's Steve Members Mortgage Monthly, as it's going to be a special anniversary show. So don't go anywhere for that one. So we'll be back here in 30 days. But again, thank you so much for attending our live cast today. And guys, again, have any questions? Give the folks, Desiree, a call at CU Members Mortgage. They'll be happy to help you out. So again, thanks again for watching, and we'll see you next month. There's your music. There's the music. All right.